To turn in the Word of God to the Gospel of John and chapter 5. John chapter 5 and God's Word to us are found in verses 24 and 25. John 5, verse 24 and 25. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ said is important, but he himself often introduces some things he says by these wonderful words, truly, truly, verily, verily, or most assuredly, I say to you. With that amount of emphasis from Jesus, most assuredly, I say to you, it's clear that what he's going to say is very important. Jesus is talking about moving from a state of death into life. He's talking about moving from judgment and condemnation to full freedom and forgiveness. He's talking about merely existing, moving from that to enjoying and experiencing eternal life, divine life, heavenly life. So how do people move from existing in death to enjoying life? How do they move from being under judgment and condemnation to being forgiven and set free? How do they move into the experience of eternal life? To have it now? And the answer is, it is by hearing the voice of Jesus. Hearing the voice of Jesus. Most assuredly, I say to you, it's absolutely true, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Later on in the Gospel, John chapter 10, John records Jesus' words, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So hearing the voice of Jesus brings us out of judgment and condemnation, out of mere existing into the joy of eternal life. But how will you hear the voice of Jesus? How do people hear the voice of Jesus today? He's not walking around Eastbourne or Hailsham. How do we hear the voice of Jesus? Well, you'll hear it as a still small voice when you're reading the scriptures, or when someone that Jesus has sent across your pathway speaks to you about Jesus, speaks to you the words of Jesus, speaks to you the stories of Jesus, the verses of Scripture. Jesus, when he was sending out the 12 disciples, he said, he who hears you, hears me. He who receives you, receives me. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me. Luke 10 verse 16. So people hear the voice of Jesus when they listen to people that Jesus has sent across their pathway. It may be a preacher. It might be a parent. It might be a husband or a wife. It may be a child. It may be a brother or sister. But people hear the voice of Jesus as these other people speak to them about Jesus. And the Spirit of God takes their words and speaks to the hearts and the consciences of the listeners. And they hear the voice of Jesus. So our texts are telling us, truly, truly, the people who hear the voice of Jesus, believe in God who sent him, they receive eternal life. They pass from death and judgment to life. If you throw a stone into a pond of still water, ripples will radiate from the place of impact out to the edge of the pond. And our texts, John 5, verse 24 and 25, are ripples sent out from the miracle which Jesus performed on the lame man at the pool of Bethsaida. Jesus' sign miracle of the healing of that lame man. Jerusalem was in festival mood. We read that Jesus went up to Jerusalem and there was a feast of the Jews. We're not told which feast it was. Probably not one of the Passover feasts, but another one. And as he goes, the Lord Jesus Christ makes his way to the pool of Bethesda, performs a miracle, and as he performs that miracle, it sends out these ripples of reaction, because the man is carrying the mat, just as Jesus told him. The religious authorities react against that. Then Jesus has to answer their criticisms, and so you have these ripples and responses to the ripples as the chapter unfolds. And our text are part of the response. There's a close connection between what we find in our text and that miracle. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears the word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear the voice and come forth. Well, the voice of Jesus. What a wonderful thing the voice of Jesus did to the crippled man. There's a time coming when all who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and rise. Just as Jesus said to the lame man who'd been crippled for 38 years, rise, take up your bed and walk. There's a time coming when everybody who's lying in graves, whether they've been in there for 38 years or longer, they're going to hear the voice of the Son of God, rise. And they will rise. You will rise. You'll one day hear the voice of Jesus. If you're in the grave, it doesn't matter how long you've been there, if you're in the grave, you will hear the voice of Jesus saying, rise, and you will rise. And each one of us will rise to the day of judgment, and it will either be to a resurrection of life or a resurrection of condemnation. So it's very important that we listen to the voice of Jesus now. Respond to him now and receive eternal life from him now. So I want us to look at this miracle that Jesus performed on this lame man and see how powerful the voice of Jesus is. Just as our texts say, most assuredly I say to you, whoever hears my word, Jesus says, and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life. You could be like the lame man, immobile, in death, in sin, but you could hear the voice of Jesus, rise. And he can give you new life, he will give you. Everyone who hears the voice will pass from death to life. So it's important. I want us, as we look at the miracle, to Watch and listen to Jesus. To see and hear three things. To see Jesus' very deliberate focus on this man. Then, to hear Jesus questioning and commanding him. And then, Jesus finding him and encouraging him later on. So, Jesus focusing on this man. There's a very deliberate, laser focus, you could say, of Jesus on this crippled man. Jesus returned to Jerusalem at the feast time. There were thousands of people in Jerusalem. But Jesus singles out this one man. Jesus goes to the sheep gate and through the sheep gate towards the pool of Bethesda. It's been excavated in the 20th century. And some of you may have been there. It's just by St. Anne's Church. It's in the Muslim quarter of Jerusalem. And this pool of Bethesda. There were many, many people there. But Jesus avoids them all. He bypasses a group of blind people who are waiting for the stirring of the water. He maybe steps over several cripples, walks behind a person who's bent over in pain and sickness, keeps on going until he comes to this particular man. And Jesus knows all about him. And he knows how long he's been there. John tells us he'd been there for 38 years. Verse 6, Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already been there in that condition a long time. Jesus knows everything about every person. John has been at pains to point that out in his gospel. In chapter 1, Nathanael. Before Philip spoke to you, I saw you under the fig tree. What? How did you know I was sitting under the fig tree? The end of chapter 2, you read that Jesus didn't need to be told about people because he knew what was in people. He knew what was in people. He knew exactly what Nicodemus wanted. When he comes to sit on the well at Sychar and this woman of Samaria comes out, he knows everything about her. You have had 5 husbands and the man you are now with is not your husband. I perceive you're a prophet. How do you know that? Jesus knew that this man had been there for 38 years. Or at least a cripple for 38 years. Maybe people brought him day by day. Maybe he'd only come to the pool for the last 5 years. But Jesus knew that he'd been in this condition for a long time, 38 years, and that he was there at the pool. Jesus knew exactly about him. And Jesus, in his sovereign mercy, bypasses everybody else to come and speak to this man, individually, personally. As soon as Jesus has healed him, Jesus doesn't want to be detained by anybody else. Ah, he healed that man. Grab him. He could heal me. No, Jesus quickly gets out of the place. Because he's targeting that one man. Jesus knows exactly what day it is. The man may not have known what day it was, but Jesus knew exactly what day it was. Many people on this Christian Sabbath will hear the voice of Jesus, just as that man on that Jewish Sabbath heard the voice of Jesus. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Many people today, on this Christian Sabbath, will hear the voice of Jesus saying to them, rise. All the years that you've spent under condemnation for some sin you've committed, that can be forgiven. Rise to a new life, just as Jesus spoke to this man. Well, so there's the deliberate focus of Jesus on this man. He says later on, that's what the Father has shown me. I only do what the Father shows me. The Father has given me the power to give life to whomever I will. It's my sovereign prerogative. And in his sovereignty, he comes to this man and gives him life. Now, the question, if we listen to Jesus' question and command, the man hears the voice of Jesus. The timing, the tone, and the emphasis of what Jesus says are all important. The timing. Unlike us, Jesus knows what this man was thinking. There's that psalm, isn't it? You know my thoughts are far off. Even before the words are in my mouth, you know them. God knows exactly what we're thinking. We don't have that advantage, do we? As we come to somebody, if we don't know what's going in their mind as you're talking to them, I can look at your faces. I'm talking to you. But I don't know what's going on in your mind as I talk to you. But Jesus does. This man that was sitting there, we don't know what was going on in his mind as he's sitting there. But Jesus knew exactly what was going on in his mind. So Jesus, when he says, do you want to be made whole? It may seem to us a rather ridiculous question. If you went down into Stoke Mandeville Hospital, for somebody who's been there for years and years and years, paralysed in a bed, and said to them, do you want to be made well? Come on. That's obvious, isn't it? So we might think it's a ridiculous question. But if Jesus knew exactly what this man was thinking, it may not seem such a ridiculous question after all. Had the man been thinking, 38 years I've been here, and I remember the sin I committed before I became this cripple. Because we know from what Jesus says to him later on that this crippled condition of the man was a result of sin, a personal sin, not just the general fallenness of creation. Jesus finds him in the temple and says to him, verse 14, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Had he been thinking, I've been here for 38 years because of that rebellious, sinful act. And today's a Sabbath. I imagine he would have known it was a Sabbath. Perhaps there were trumpet blasts from the temple, which he may have heard in the distance. God's promised rest. And did his mind go back to the Old Testament, to another 38 years? In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 14, you read that it was 38 years that the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness when they came to the valley of one of the valleys that they had to cross, Zered. 38 years until all the rebels had died in the wilderness. What's a man thinking? I've been here 38 years because of my sin. Just like those 38 years in the wilderness because of the rebellion. They died. Am I going to die here still unforgiven? Still a cripple? 38 years. And then Jesus comes. Do you want to be made well? Well, if a man had been thinking, maybe I'm going to die just like the people in the wilderness after 38 years, do you want to be made well? On this Sabbath day, this day of promised rest and the joy of entering into what God has promised. Do you want to be made well? Those people, they never got into God's heavenly rest that's pictured in Canaan. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to enjoy forgiveness for that past sin? Do you want to be set free from this crippled condition so that you can live a new life, walking around and living for God? Do you want to be made whole, well? And the tone of Jesus' voice as Jesus speaks to him. The man senses the sympathy in the voice of Jesus. He's a lonely man. He's got no friends to help him into the pool. They may bring him there and lay him there day by day. They may provide food for him, but they haven't got time to stay around and help him into the pool. But here is a man who's voice is so kind. Maybe he's the one who could stay and help me. Sir, I've nobody when the water is stirred to help me into the water. Would you be my help? Maybe that's what he's thinking in his answer. And then the emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to be made well? Made well. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as he speaks to people up and down the country today and across the world today, through parents, through partners, through children, through Sunday school teachers, do you want to be made well? Well with God? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want freedom? Do you want that heavenly rest which God promises to people? And the voice of Jesus comes and would say to you, do you want to be made whole? It's a wonderful invitation. Then, to the surprise of the man, came the authoritative command, rise, take up your bed and walk. We're not told anything about the man's faith, or the absence of faith. But he felt immediately bones being strengthened, joints being strengthened, muscles being strengthened. There was an authority in the command of Jesus, rise, take up your bed. So this man who'd been laying crippled and unable to move, and his no doubt his joints and bones had all been weakened by such a long period of time, he feels the strength coming and the impossible made possible. He rises and he turns around to roll up his bed just as he's been told, but as he rolls up his bed to pick it up and take it home, Jesus slips away, he's gone. But the miracle has happened. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. It's Jesus saying to us, most assuredly I say to you, if you hear my words, believe in him who sent me, you will have everlasting life. You pass from judgment. You've risen from this condition of condemnation and judgment to forgiveness and freedom and liberty and joy. You've entered into God's rest as much as you can spiritually at present. To hear the voice of Jesus, why he'd come. There's a deep connection with what Jesus said to Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That happened just before the 38 years were completed. And the people were there at that valley where they had to cross over into the kingdom of Moab. Jesus has spoken about his death, his resurrection. Everyone who hears Jesus and his message believes God sent him. They pass from death to life. Well, one last point to think on, of Jesus' encounter with this man. Jesus sought him out and found him and spoke to him words of encouragement and words of warning. We read in verse 14, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. The shepherd in Jesus' parable in Luke 15 deliberately sets out to find the sheep that's gone astray and searches until he finds it. Jesus goes out of his way to find this newborn lamb, as it were, who may be just about to go astray. He finds him in the temple. And again, we have this laser focus of Jesus, finding him in the temple. Jesus afterward found him in the temple. Jesus would bypass the Pharisees who are standing up there in the way, praying so everyone can see them. He bypasses all the worshippers who are busy trying to buy the best sacrifice to offer. The comings and goings of everybody else. Jesus finds him. There he is. And Jesus goes to him and speaks to him. Like the shepherd's crook, getting the lamb by the neck, as it were, and saying, no, where are you off to? And Jesus encourages him, firstly, to encouraging him, look, he says, you've been made well, you're walking around, you're coming into the temple to worship God, a forgiven sinner, set free, you're, look at you, you're well. The encouraging words of Jesus, and how encouraging it is sometimes that Jesus can send the Spirit to assure us, you are forgiven. You've been made whole. Later on in the Gospel, Jesus says, you know, I have performed this one work, making a man completely well. And so here is Jesus encouraging this man. You have been made well. It's encouraging for us when we've been walking the Christian pathway to have this reassurance from the Lord Jesus Christ that we are well. We sing, don't we? It is well with my soul. Remember Mr. Boggis, who used to be the minister before me in Eastbourne. He loved that hymn. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So to be reassured and to be reassured by the voice of Jesus, look, you have been made well. So that was one of the reasons. Another purpose of Jesus finding him was to warn him, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Jesus knew what that sin was 38 years earlier that had brought the years of lameness upon this man. He knew the pathway of temptation which had led to that sin. Maybe, we don't know, maybe it was a sin committed in the temple. Had he tried to steal some of the gold from the temple? Had he tried to do something in the temple it's not lawful for him to do? And here he was in the temple, potentially in the same place of temptation that had led to his previous sin years and years before. And Jesus comes to him and finds him like the good shepherd with these restraining words, sin no more, lest the worst thing come to you. And surely we have Jesus as our good shepherd, and he knows his sheep. He knows when his sheep are wandering. He knows when we wander close to the brink of temptation and sin. And we can hear the voice of Jesus in our conscience. We can hear the voice of Jesus in friends interrupting what we're doing, saying, sin no more. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's what Jesus was doing with this man. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And what a wonderful thing it is that we have a Saviour who is concerned for the way we walk each day in our lives. And he will find us in our course, in our wanderings, in our waywardness, with laser intention. Sin no more. Don't do it. Lest the worst thing come to you. The worst chastening from God. Well, we don't know much about this man, really. He's a bit of an enigma. Was he stupid? Not really aware of what other people were doing? Did he go to the authorities to commend Jesus joyfully to them? I found out who it was who made me well. It was Jesus. What a wonderful person he is. Was it quite innocent that he went to the authorities? Or was there a kind of self-preservation and betrayal in what he said? Ah, leave me alone. I'll find out who it is. Jesus who made me well. And then the persecution, murderous intentions against Jesus begin. We don't know. It's a bit of an enigma. But what we do know is our own hearts, to some measure. Will we listen to Jesus? Have we listened to him and believed in God who sent him? Have we passed from death to life, from judgment? Are we going to hear his voice on the day of resurrection when he calls people forth, some to everlasting life and some to eternal condemnation? Are you going to hear the voice summoning you, enter into the joy of your Lord? Well, we don't know about this man fully. When Jesus says, I've made a man completely well, it would indicate that he was genuinely a follower of Jesus, one of his sheep, and not just a person who experienced a miracle in his life. But what about us? What about us? Have you heard the voice of Jesus? Do you listen for the voice of Jesus? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. May we all be sheep of the Lord Jesus, following him and his powerful, restoring, keeping voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. Amen.